All right, hour number two, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, of course, Bill Donahue joining us right now. Bill, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you today, sir?
Well, thank you, John. Thank you, Andy.
We appreciate you having us. All right, American Coal, by the way, you've got a long list of things that you have done, and I would be here for the next 10 minutes just listing out your bio. What's your number one accomplishment, Bill?
Wow, I think drinking beer. And by the way, I'm a Coors Light guy, so I mean,
hey, there you go.
You're neck of the woods.
We'll take
no,
that.
I mean, quite frankly, I was thrown out a lot of schools when I was young. I was a crazy man.
Were you drinking too much? Were you drinking too much beer then?
Actually, it was, you know, in all honesty, I was in California in the late '60s during the Vietnam War period. It's a much worse place than Vietnam, believe me. And that's when I was introduced to regular banquet Coors. But no, then I wised up. Like a lot of guys, you just don't get it together. And I wound up and I got serious and I wound up with a PhD and I taught in Spanish Harlem with wonderful Black and Puerto Rican kids and spent 4 years in the Air Force. I taught college for 16 years. I was 20 years on the board of directors of the National Association of Scholars. This is my 11th book. So I've been in and out of trouble, and I'm still causing trouble, but hopefully I'm going after the right people, and that's namely the left, because I think they're insane.
Awesome. Well, they are, and we appreciate you joining us. American culture, as you know, we are at a chasm, two very different schools of thought, one very secular, the other, of course, which, you know, our country was definitely founded on some religious, not some, but religious principles. Bill, I've got my own thoughts on that. I talk about that all the time here. Not going to go down that whole rabbit hole right now as to what I felt like the founding fathers did and all of that. But the bottom line is we have got really two totally different schools of thought on what we as a culture should do moving forward. And it's frankly not going to end well.
No, it's going to end, hopefully. I mean, look, they're irreconcilable, John. You're absolutely right about that. They are irreconcilable. There's always some give, a little bit here and there. But quite frankly, if one side believes in God and believes in human nature, that you can't have perfectibility here on earth.
Right.
You can get it in heaven, but not
right.
Here.
Right.
And if you believe that there are moral absolutes, some things are fundamentally wrong. If you believe the truth does exist, then the opposite, of course, can't be reconciled. The other side, the secularists, do not believe in God. They don't believe in human nature. They think you can create perfectibility of heaven here on earth, and they certainly don't believe in truth. They think it's all a fiction. And once you buy into that, it's a short walk to believing that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. And any sane person should know that's simply madness.
Yep.
Bill, can you explain something for me? Obviously, Christians are more moral absolutists. The left is more moral relativists, right? So they don't have absolutes. But why is it that it's the left that wants to impose its views much more? So here they are more live and let live relativity, and yet they're the ones who use force and control to make other people live and support what they do. In fact, they demand that others celebrate their lifestyles and their beliefs.
Because they are so convinced that they are smarter than us, smarter than God, and their big thing in life is power. They want to control. And if there's speech that they find disagreeable, instead of being like us and saying, well, why don't we argue the points, no, there's no need to argue. They're right,
yep.
And we're wrong,
yep.
And therefore they don't have to worry about that. And this, by the way, is not a matter of opinion. If you take a look at the organization FIRE and the studies they've done on college campuses, the most liberal college campuses are also the most intolerant of freedom of speech.
Right.
So the evidence is there. It's not just a matter of opinion.
Well, which, as you know, we're seeing across not every college campus, but
right.
Some of the major ones, we're seeing that happen right now as we speak.
Right. Because they're convinced that, again, you know, they're pro-Hamas, they're anti-Israel, they're anti-United States. That's why they burned the American flag here in New York City again yesterday in Central Park, putting up the Free Palestine signs. You know the interesting thing about this, John, is that whenever their side wins, somebody else loses big time. And this has always been the case in history, going back to Marx.
True.
Everybody's ever lived under a Marxist regime, under Stalin, under Mao Zedong, whoever it might be. The death toll is in the tens of millions. So we've seen what's happened. Again, it's not a matter of idle speculation. They are so convinced that they're right that they're willing to kill for it.
Yep. Good point.
Well, Bill, I mean, you mentioned how they support Gaza and so forth. Let's face it. Islam believes in jihad. Yes. Is there any difference in what Islam wants from what the modern American left wants, in that ultimately they want the destruction of any of those who do not submit to their beliefs?
No, you know, let me tell you, let me just prove that your point is so right, Andy. People have said to me, Bill, how can you be in favor of Sharia law and then at the same time the left embracing them? You know, you actually have a group called Queers for Palestine. I mean, that's interesting.
It's hilarious. Yeah,
it's the dumbest thing ever.
What do they do to homosexuals in those countries? they cut off their heads.
Right.
But one thing they do have in common, and that's where you were getting at, I think, Andy, and that is they both hate the West. They
yes.
both hate America. So, yes, the left with their sexual libertinism, and I have a big chapter in Cultural Meltdown on sexual libertinism, going back to Kinsey and all the other perverts. It's amazing how many of these people were perverts. That they believe that, you know, it sky's the limit license in terms of matters sexual. On the other hand, the Sharia law people will kill you for it, but they're willing to put their differences aside, which are huge when it comes to sex, as long as they have a common enemy, which is the United States.
It's sort of like, comparison would be when Germany and Japan got together. Now, eventually, I think those two would have even duked it out because both of them were looking for the same thing at the end of the day, but they put their quote-unquote differences aside to beat the West, right?
Right, exactly. And I hope the listeners understand, we're not talking here about liberals, right? We're talking
right.
about the left. There's
right.
a difference. Alan Dershowitz, whom I know, get along with him fine. He's a liberal, all right? He's not a leftist. A leftist is somebody who hates America, who want to destroy America, and that's what Cultural Meltdown is largely dealing with.
It's why I rarely, and I try my best, Bill, to not use the term liberal. I try to use, you know, the Marxist left, the communist left. I mean, that's the reality of what you're talking about. Yeah, I know there's some folks, even some quote-unquote conservatives, that would probably consider themselves to be a little bit more on the liberal side. I would not put them in that camp of the left like you're describing.
Right. We're talking about the people who don't believe that there should be any kind of civility in the streets. Black Lives Matter, Antifa. And do you ever notice, like in today's protesters, do you know, and nobody seems to be talking about this, John and Andy, overwhelmingly, I live in New York, I see it here all the time, they're overwhelmingly women. And the guys are small.
Mm.
I mean, they're not football players.
No, good point.
So, I mean, you've got, you know, Antifa was all a bunch of small men running around with their masks like as if they were Zorro. You know, and they always go after the cops. They hate the cops. They don't
yep.
care whether you're black or white,
right.
Hispanic or whatever. It's any kind of authority except for their own authority, because they're the only ones that matter in the end. And that's why I say, even killing, it doesn't bother them because they're so convinced that they're right and we're wrong. We are in a meltdown in our culture. Either the Judeo-Christian vision is going to triumph in the end, or it's not. I can give you a lot of pointers which are very pessimistic, but I can also mention some good things. Give you one quick one right now, and that is that Europe is way ahead of the United States and Canada, finally realizing, beginning with the Dutch, also the French, the Germans, the Brits, they're saying we went down the wrong road in trying to tell young men and women, mostly women, by the way, 80% of them, want to change their sex. You can't really change your sex, but that's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've realized it in Europe. Yet this country is trailing, and Canada is even worse than we are. But there are some good things happening like this. The Irish just today in Dublin had a major march saying, listen, we're all in favor of immigration, but you got to be able to fit in here. So things are really, there's a lot of good signs happening. Remember what Henry Kissinger said before he died. He was a brilliant man. He made a mistake in one thing, but he was man enough to admit it. He said, I encourage the Germans and the rest of the Europeans to just accept everybody from all over the world. Let them, all the migrants come in. He said, I was wrong. Some people just don't want to fit in, and we got to wise up.
Bill, why do you think we are lagging so far behind them, you know, in turning it around? I mean, there are really two kinds of theories. Number one, well, it's because they just lurched further to the left sooner, saw the horrors of it sooner, and so they're lurching back. Or the other theory is we're just more messed up. I mean, why are we lagging behind?
I think the former has a lot of saliency to it. But also, I have to mention one other thing we have to mention it. It's a $3 billion a year industry. And look, as I point out in Cultural Meltdown, you can have a guy goes into a doctor and he says, I want you to cut off my left leg. He says, what are you, crazy? We just don't walk into my office and say, I'm going to amputate your leg. Now, what if he says, I want you to amputate my genitals? Or go down to room 6. We'll be there in 20 minutes.
Mm.
I mean, there are therapists in this country. And, of course, again, the denial. This is postmodernism. It comes out of Germany and out of France, the idea that there's no such thing as truth. One of the examples I give in the book, which I love to tell, is a philosopher by the name of Lori Calhoun. Now, how would you like to be a student in her class? Another philosopher said to her, wait a minute, now you don't believe in anything is true. She said, of course not. He said, well, isn't it true that giraffes are taller than ants? And her answer was, no, it's a matter of faith.
Jeez. All righty then.
I spent most of my life in the academy as a professor. We need to build more asylums because we could move half the people in the academy right into the asylum tomorrow.
Can't argue that.
It's that strange. I mean, it's really amazing.
No, you're
so
right.
Basically, to sum up your beliefs, we need to build more asylums, and if you're in a hospital, stay away from room 6.
Stay at room 6 and make sure to drink that wonderful beer coming out of Colorado.
There we go. The book coming out in June is Cultural Meltdown. Bill, we'll have you back on as we get a little bit closer to that launch date, by the way. I've enjoyed talking to you. You are in great company. You're literally welcome anytime you want to come on air.
Well, thank you. It's a lot of fun to talk to two guys and know what they're talking about.
Bill, thank you, by the way. Appreciate you very much.
All right, thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Bill Donahue, Cultural Meltdown is the name of the book. And again, as we get a little closer to June, which we're not that far away, but it's 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
We'll have him back on as we get the book launched. And
oh, sure.
I enjoyed that.
He's a good conversation.
Great. Yeah, I like that very much.
Hi, this is producer Ann. Thank you so much for listening to this interview on Rush to Reason. To find out more, please visit us at rushtoreason.com. That's RUSHTOREASON.com.